Kedushin Daf Chaf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis on the bottom line, Ramid Ramea Dramea. As we had learned in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Beis, and then the Gemara yesterday on Daf Chaf Gimel had discussed what we learned in the Mishnah. There's a machlokes between Ramea and the Chachamim if an Eved Knani is to leave his owner's home. Under what circumstances does he leave the owner's home? Remeir held that there is no way for the Eved to have his own money to use to get himself released, because we know there's a rule called Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. And therefore, according to Remeir, the only way that the Eved can be released through Kesef is if someone else provided the kesef for him. The Rabbanan disagreed. And as the Gemara explained, it's not to say that the Rabbanan don't subscribe to the concept of kol mashakana eved kana rabbi, because we know certainly that loch is kol mashakana eved kana rabbi. The reason the Rabbanan disagreed was because the Rabbanan held that there are ways for an eved to get his own money. Actually, Rav Elazar and Rav Sheshes gave us two different ways. Rav Sheshes said that if someone gave Eved money, amnas she'en l'rabach rishus, on the stipulation that your owner has no rights to that money becomes strictly the Eved's and not the owner's. Rav Elazar disagreed with that approach, and Rav Elazar said that the way an Eved could receive money is amnas shetetz beil chavshi, that if the money was given to the Eved with the clear stipulation that it could only be used for you to get your freedom, then the owner has no right. Remeir, however, doesn't agree, and Remeir says that kol mashkana Eved kana rabbi is a hard and fast rule, and therefore the only way kesef can be used to redeem an Eved is through someone else giving the money, the Eved never receiving it. So now ask the Gemara, Ramid Ramea Dramea. There's a stira, there's a contradiction in the opinion of Ramea. Ramid Rabbanan Rabbanan, there's a seeming contradiction in the opinion of the Rabbanan, the Tanya. We learned in the Braisa, Ein Isha Poydam Maisesheni, Beloy Chaimish. A woman does not have Maisesheni redeemed without adding a fifth. We know that during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, Maisesheni is removed. The din of Maisa Sheni is that that money should be taken, that food, that produce, should be taken to Yerushalayim, where it is eaten. If someone doesn't want to take the actual produce to Yerushalayim, the halacha is that he could redeem that produce. The Torah, however, indicates that if the owner of the Maisa Sheni is the one that redeems the Maisa Sheni, he has to add a chaimish. He has to add a fifth to the redemption price. I actually saw a nice explanation from the Sharm Tzion Balacha. Why does the Torah say this? Because the Torah says as follows. The Torah knows that if a person is going to actually carry the Maisa Sheni produce to Yerushalayim, and it'll take a while for him to consume all of that produce, he'll end up being in Yerushalayim for a while. Which is exactly what the Torah wants, that the person should expose himself to the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. But if the person is going to take money, we know that money can be spent quickly, and he won't remain in Yerushalayim that long. The Torah prefers that he stay in Yerushalayim long, and that's why the Torah says, take the produce, not the money. However, be as it may, the Braisa says, when a woman is paida Maisa Sheni, she has to add a chaimish. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, I'm Shim Rameya, ain't paid the Maaseh Sheni v'loy chaimish, doesn't have to, Isha paid the Maaseh Sheni v'loy chaimish, she doesn't have to add the fifth. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Dami, exactly what is the case that this Braisa is referring to? Ilei bezuzei de baal, or Maaseh de baal, that it's the husband's produce, and it's the husband's money, and the woman is just the one who's doing the actual redemption on behalf of her husband, Shluchus of the Baal Kavdash. She's acting as a shlich on behalf of her husband. So certainly, the regular din that when an owner redeems his own meiser, he has to add a fifth, applies. Ella, it's referring to Zuzah Didah, or Meiser Didah. Her money and his meiser. Ask the Gemara, if that is the case, Isham Rachman of La Yisha. If a person is redeeming his own meiser, so the din is that he has to use his own, he has to add a fifth. Here, it's not her meiser, it's just her money, but not her meiser. The Rishonim discuss how is it possible for a woman to have her own money. We learned in the previous year, Kama Shekana Isha Kana Bala. So some Rishonim say that there's a difference, as we explained in the previous year, that everybody agrees, as far as a wife is concerned, that if the husband gives her the money explicitly with the stipulation that it should not be his, she retains it. Or it could be referring to a situation that she sold her ksuba, that the Gemara discusses many times, that a woman has a right to sell a ksuba for Toivas HaNoah, and that Toivas HaNoah is hers. The Gemara Masech, the ksubas, the Rishonim say, suggests that perhaps it's a situation where the husband told his wife was a rusa, dinu dvarm ein li ben chasayich, that then she has independent right to that money. So again, what is the case? Elalav kai gavna. It must be the following situation. Daknale achamana. Someone gave her money with the stipulation, omala amanasha tifti baisa maisa, that you could only use this money to redeem the maisa. The Tanakama holds that that condition is void. And therefore the money is considered like the husband's money, and therefore the chaymish must be added. Remeir, however, is of the opinion that the stipulation is a valid stipulation, and therefore the money remains the wife's, and since it's not the husband's money, the chaymish doesn't have to be added. But isn't this, asked the Gemara, ipcha shmanala, isn't this just the opposite of the way we explained the opinion of Remeir and the Chachamim in the previous Gemara? Well, there we explained Remeir is of the opinion. Remeir is of the opinion that stipulations don't work, and the Chacham holds stipulations do work. Amrabaya to Epoch. We did have to reverse the opinion cited in the Braisa. And as the Mefarshim explain, why are we saying that we are reversing the opinion in the Braisa, not in the Mishnah? Because many times we find that their versions of the Braisa, of Braisas that they learned, were corrupted, and therefore it's possible, quite possible, that the opinions were reversed. There is no reason to make any reversals of opinion. This price is referring that this woman inherited maisa from a father. Remeya follows his opinion that Remeya holds Dama Maisa Maman Hegeshu. The Meiser is considered not the woman's own, but it's actually considered belonging to Hegdash. And therefore, like Kana Leibal, it's not something that, even though we know typically, this is not something that the husband receives ownership of, because it's not a regular item that she owns. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, if we're following the opinion, the Maisa Mam and Gevayahu, so how can we explain, and how can we say that she was Yoyushit, that she inherited? How could you inherit something that's Mam and Gevayah? So the Miches Chinuch suggests that it's a Gzeres HaKosef, that the Torah says that even though it's Mam and Gevayah, it can be inherited. The others, Rabbi Chanan seems to learn, that we find such a concept in halacha, that even though I don't really have ownership of the item, it's considered mine. He says we find such a concept by something which is osa b'hanah, bas b'chalav, for example. It could be considered that I own the bas b'chalav, even though I'm not allowed to benefit from it. So that's the case, and therefore, since this meiser she inherited, and it's mama gavoya, it's not the husband's meiser, and therefore, since it's not the husband's meiser, there's no din of adding the chaymish. Rabbanan to Ma'idam and Mamun Hedjit, who Ma'is Hashem is considered Mamun Hedjit, the Karnal Baal, and therefore the husband acquires this Ma'is Hashem. And now, if you want to be paidit, if she's paidit with the husband's money for the husband, it's a regular situation of shlichus the baal kavdina. She's using the husband's money to redeem the husband's maisa, where a fifth would have to be added. Continues the Gemara, Tana. We learned in a braisa that the halacha is that, and the Torah actually tells us that an eved goes out b'shem v'ayin. Shem v'ayin means that if the owner knocks out the eved's eye or tooth, he's released. Says the Braisa, Yoytze b'shem v'ayin, that not only is shem v'ayin a way that the eved is released, but actually, v'rashi avarim sheni chazim, if any organ that doesn't regenerate was knocked out, the eved goes out. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam shem v'ayin k'sivi. As we just said, the Torah explicitly tells us that through shem v'ayin, an eved leaves his owner's, the owner's home. Hello, Rashi Avarim and Nolan. Where does the Braisa take that all other Rashi Avarim have the same din? Says the Gemara, Dumi de Shem V'ayin. The Torah compares the Rashi Avarim to Shem V'ayin. Ma Shem V'ayin, Mumin Shebegoyal Levein Chayzim. What are the characteristics of Shem V'ayin? That they're blemishes that are noticeable and they don't regenerate. Af kol Mumin Shebegoyal, whatever. A visible organ, and the Gemara Mitzvah tomorrow Shir is going to delve deeper what is considered a Mumin Shebegoli and Ayin and Chayzrim. They don't regenerate. The halach is that it's considered a situation that she goes, that the Ever would go out. Ask the Gemara, Veiman name a have a Shev Ayin Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echod, because Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echod Ein Melamdin. We have the following concept. We know that the Torah many times mentions a rule, and even though the Torah doesn't repeat the rule, there is no reason to repeat the rule. The fact that the Torah teaches us a concept, that becomes a concept that we use for all other areas of halacha. However, if the Torah teaches us the same thing twice, the question is, why did the Torah have to say it twice? The Torah could have said it once, and that one time that the Torah says it should be able to serve as a model for Kol HaTorah Kula. Why did the Torah repeat it? It must be to teach us that only where the Torah tells us this din is the din applicable, nowhere else. So if the Torah says both Shein V'Ayin, isn't what the Torah is telling us is that only by Shein V'Ayin does an Eved go out, not any other Aver. So again, we come back to our question, how could the Braisa suggest that for any Aver, the Aver goes out? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. The Torah had to mention Shen V'Ayin and all the other Averim. Dikas Rachmana Shen, if the Torah had only written Shen, Hava Mina, Afilu Shen, the Chalov, even a milk tooth, which will come back, which another tooth will grow in its place, sets Aved free. Kas Rachmana Ayin, that's what the Torah had to mention Ayin, that it has to be an organ like the eye that doesn't regenerate. Because Rachman Ayin, had the Torah only written Ayin, Havamina, Ma Ayin Shenivir Imoy, just like an Ayin is created with the person at his birth, Af Kol Shenivir Imoy. Also, any organ that's created with the person when he's born, Aval Shein Loy, but a tooth, since it's not there at birth, should not be considered a situation for which an Eved goes out. Sricha, that's what the Torah had to mention, both Shem V'Ayin, and it's not considered a situation of Shnei Ksuvim Habayin Ke'echad. The Rishonim also suggest that had the Torah only said Ayin, we would say that Ayin means something that's very visible. A tooth is not completely visible, it's covered by the lips. An Ayin is completely visible. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema, perhaps we should understand the Pesukim this way. Kiyaka, the Pasuk says, Ish Kiyaka Shein Ein Avdoi. So if we say the word Kiyaka is a Klal, Shein V'Ayin should be a Prat, and we have a rule, Klal or Prat, Ein beklal el mashu befrat. The Torah first it says a general rule, and then it says a detail. The Rabbi Shmuel teaches us in the Brisa of the Shlosh Esrei Midos, ein beklal el mashu befrat, which would mean shem v'ayin in, only for a shem v'ayin does an eved leave, midachrina loy, for no other reason does an eved go out. So again, we come back to our question, how could the Brisa suggest that for any organ does the eved leave? Answers the Gemara, the pasuk continues, L'chavshi yishachana chaz v'klal. Then the Torah uses the words L'chavshi yishachanu. So we have a situation, klal u'pratu klal, which then the halacha is, iyat don elkein prat. It has to be similar to the prat. Ma prat mefurish. What is the characteristic of the prat? Mum shvegoli. It's a visible mum. Vein chayzrim. And it doesn't regenerate. Av kob mum in shvegoli. So too is the halacha. Any mum that's visible. Vein chayzrim. And doesn't regenerate. Sets the eved free. Says the Gemara. When we have a situation of a klal or prat or klal, it has to be similar to the prat. So the Gemara drills down and says, if we're going to look for the common characteristics of shein v'ayin, which now will become the model, that only when these common characteristics exist does the eved go free, let's say the following. Ii prat mefurish mumin shebegoli, the visible blemishes, batal m'malachtoi, they cause that the eved should not be able to use them. If someone's tooth is knocked out, he no longer can use the tooth. If someone's eye is unfortunately removed, he can no longer use that eye. Veinachizer, and they have to be organs that don't regenerate. So if we're using a klal uprat klal format, the only situation that will cause that the eved should go free has to be mumin shebegoli, veinachizer, or batal m'malachtoi. Alam etanya, what are we learning in a brisa? Talish b'ziknoi, if they pull the eved's beard, the dilba debay etzem, and move the jaw, eved yotz bem lecheris, the eved goes out free. Here we have a situation that indeed it may be a mum shebegoli, because you could see that this mum, it may be something that doesn't regenerate, but it doesn't affect his being able to eat. It doesn't affect it's not bottom malachtoi. Answers the Gemara, l'shchavshi l'shachena ribuyahu. Since the Torah uses the word l'chavshi shachena, it's considered ribuya. And we're going to explain the Gemara with a beautiful explanation that the Atzmus Yosef suggests. He says, we learned the other day, Rashi taught us, that when we have this type of pasuk in the Torah, it could be explained in one of two ways. It could be explained as a klal upratu klal, or it could be explained as a ribi meat and ribui. And Rashi went on to say that a klal or prat a klal has a much more limited application than a ribi meat ribui. A prat, klal or prat a klal, the prat defines the halacha. A ribi meat ribui, meat doesn't define the halacha, the meat just teaches us a specific din. Says the Gemara that don't learn these psukim as a klal or prat a klal, but rather learn these psukim as a ribi meit ribui. But ask the Atzmus Yosef in continuing to try to understand the Gemara, when we learned that sugya and we learned that Rashi said that this really represents two separate ways of how to understand psukim. Klal or prat a klal is one way, ribi meit ribui is another way. So if these represent two different ways of understanding psukim, we can't just pick and choose that we're going to use the ribi meit ribui method and not use the klal prat klal method. So why are we using that method over here? Answers the Atzmus Yosef in explaining the Gemara that the Torah should have actually used the words yetzei chavshi. Why did the Torah use the words l'chavshi yishalchena? The Torah is teaching us that even though normally we use the klal prat klal method, here everybody agrees that we should use the ribi meit ribi method. And as we said, if we use the ribi meit ribi method, it gives us the opportunity to apply the halacha in a much broader fashion, and therefore even if it's not bottle malachtoi, as long as an organ that's begolui and doesn't regenerate was removed, the eved is set free. Ask the Gemara, if we're taking this approach that we're learning a ribi miyit ribi method, iribuyuhu, so then the halach ought to be, I feel he called yod of itzamsa, even if the owner hit him on the hand and it withered, the soif lachser, and then it's going to get better, nami, the halach should still be that the evid should go out. Allah matanya, he called yod of itzamsa, the soif lachser, ain't evid yod tzbel chayris, we're putting a broad explanation. Says the Gemara, everything has to be balanced. In Ken Shen Ayin Mahanale, the Torah does specify Shen V'ayin for certain reasons. And therefore, the halach is that if it's a Rashi Avarim, that's a Mumsh V'goli, and Ein Achayzer, the Eved goes out. Tan Rabban, B'kulam Eved Yoetz Ben Melcheres, in all of these situations, the Eved goes out free. However, V'tzar Get Shechur, a Get Shechur is still required, Divrei Rav Shimon. And the Rishayim explain the basis of Rav Shimon's opinion, why is still a get shechur required. They say, because we know that there are two elements in the ownership of an eved. One is a dine mamonis, the owner owns the eved, and the other element is that there are halachas of isva heter, the halachas that the eved, who he may marry, who he may not marry, etc. The wounding the eved, shein v'ayin, according to Rav Shimon, only affects the dinei mamonis element, but it doesn't have ability to affect the iser element. So the only way that the eved could be entirely freed must include that he get a shtar shechur. Rav Lezaima, Rav Kitmeyama, ain't a tzarech. A shtar shechur is not required. Rav Lezaima, tzarech, it is required. Rav Tafraima, ain't a tzarech. Rav Akiva, a tzarech. Hamachrim, lefnei chacham ha'imrim, those that used to make decisions, these were Tanoim, said Nirin Divrei Rabbi Tarfon B'Shem V'Ayin. We agree with Rabbi Tarfon's opinion B'Shem V'Ayin that their Shtar Shechur is not required. Shetar is Achsalah, because the Torah says that he goes out. V'Divrei Rabbi Kiva B'Shar Avarim, and we agree with Rabbi Kiva by other Avarim, Hoyel V'Knas Chachamhu, it's only a penalty that Chazal put in. Ask the Gemara, Knasu? What are you saying that's just a Drabonon, that by other Avarim he goes out? We just explained from Sukkim that the halach is that the Eved goes out. Ella, says the Gemara, since this din that the Eved goes out by Rashi Avarim that are not Shem V'ayin is not explicitly stated in the Torah, it's just something that we learn from Sukkim, therefore it's treated differently. And of course all the Rishonim immediately try to understand this Gemara. We know one of the fundamental concepts of our religion is that Torah Shabbat Peh is equal to Torah Shabbat Ksav. So we have a pasuk that we explain in a certain way. It has the din of a deraisa. So how's our Gemara differentiating between something that says explicitly in the Torah versus something that's a Medrash Chachamim? And I saw quite a number of answers to this question. The Meiri suggests that not every Medrash Chachamim has the status of a Daraisa. And that's the case here, where this Medrash Chachamim only has the status of a Drabonon, that if one of the other Evarim are removed, David goes out, and therefore, a Shtar Shechur should be written. Tosfos gives two other Terutzim. One Terut says, Tosfos, is that since the Din, that with the other Evarim, the Eved leaves, is not something explicitly said in the Torah. So we're going to have a situation where owner is going to knock out one of the other Evarim of an Eved. He's going to meet the Eved in the street, and the Eved's going to leave. The Eved came to the Daf Yom Yishir, and the owner is going to tell the Eved, you had no right to leave. The Torah doesn't give you that right. So in order to publicize and make sure that the Eved doesn't end up in trouble with his owner, we force the owner to give a shtar shechur, and then the eved has a document that clearly indicates that he's free. The Riva gives another teretz. The Riva says that, as we're going to learn in the next piece of Gemara, the machloikis that we just quoted, the machloikis tanon, if a shtar shechur is required or not, is really based on different limudim. There's one lima that indicates that it is required. There's another lima that indicates that it's not required. Says Drivop, Shad in the Gemara, Medrash Chachamim. Chachamim told us when to apply which limud. B'shev Ayin, we apply the limud that indicates that a Shtar Shichur is not required. By all the other Rosh Yavarim, we apply the limud that seems, that indicates that a Shtar Shichur is required. But then I saw another very interesting teretz. First, the Gra points out, why is it indeed the halacha that b'shem v'ayin the eved goes out? So he says that the reason the Torah specifies that b'shem v'ayin an eved goes out is because the Torah shows us the whole concept of avdus began with shem v'ayin. What do we mean? We remember in Parashas Noach, Chom saw the erva of his father, and then went and told this over to his brothers. And after that episode, Noach said that Chum should be an Evid. So Chum's entire Avdus, the entire concept of Avdus, began because of Shen Vayim, seeing and talking. So says the Gra, say the Mefarshim, helping us understand the Gra. Shen Vayim is specifically unique in the reason that the Evid should go out. That's why Shem V'ayin are treated differently than all other Evarim. Now, say the Rishonim, we could go back to what we learned earlier on top of the Amid, the bottom of the previous Amid. The Gemara asked, why did the Torah have to specify Shem V'ayin? Wouldn't it be enough if the Torah only specified one organ? But now that the Gemara is teaching us that Shem V'ayin are treated differently than all other organs. For by Shem V'ayin, a Shtar Shichur doesn't have to be written. And by all other organs, a Shtar Shichur does have to be written. We could understand where the Torah had to mention both Shen and both Ayin to teach us these are the two cases where a Shtar Shichur doesn't have to be written. So says the Gemara, as we just referred to it, my Tama, the Reb Shimon, why does Reb Shimon hold that an Eved like this requires a Shtar Shichur? Yalav shiluach shluach me'isha. He learns the Gzeres Shava from an isha. Ma'isha, we know that a woman, when she gets divorced, requires a shtar. As Eved, here too, the Torah uses the din l'chavshi shalchen, the same word shiluach, a shtar is required. Remeyer, who doesn't require a shtar, ichavshi lipsoiv kedekamrit. If the Torah would have used the word yishalchenu l'chavshi, we would indeed explain yishalchenu through a shtar shichur, Yishalchenu, and then l'chavshi they'll be free. But the Torah uses the opposite. Hash the kasa l'chavshi shalchenu. Why is the Torah using this specific order of the words to teach us? Have l'chavshi mikara. He's immediately chavshi as soon as the shem v'ayin are removed, and there is no need for a shtar shechra. Tanabon hikav ayin. If somebody hit somebody, his Eved's eye, somebody makes him blind. Al oznoi, or he hit his ears, v'charshoi, and he makes him deaf, Eved yotz b'el cheres. So I saw the Rishonim ask, we learned at the beginning of our shir, that one of the requirements that the Eved has to have for the Eved to go out, it has to be a mum shebegolui. So somebody being made deaf, terrible, but it's not golui. So I saw two answers in Rishonim. When we say mum shebegolui, it has to be an organ which is a visible organ. The ear is obviously a visible organ. Another teretz I saw is that, unfortunately, a person who's deaf doesn't act in the same way as everyone else, and that is why it's considered a mum shebegolui. However, neged einoi veinaroya, if somebody hit a wall near the Eved's eye, and because of that, the Eved loses his vision. Kineged oznoi, if somebody hits something next to Eved's ear, v'ena shemeya, that is not considered a situation that the Eved was organ was removed by the owner, and Eved judged by l'cheres. And as Mefarshim point out, even though the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama says that under such circumstances, somebody l'chola at least m'day shemayim has to pay for the damages, that's still not considered that he directly damaged him. And there are two explanations. One is because it's only obligated, he's only obligated to pay the hezek, lots of sedei shemayim, Bezdin can't force him, What's one pshat that I saw? Another pshat is that even if you have to pay to be yotzi de shemayim, you only have to pay the what you damaged. Freeing the eved is worth more than the actual damage that the Torah never requires. Amalei, Amar Rav Shem and Rav Ashi, so Rav Shem asks Rav Ashi, lememer the kol af klamu, does this mean to say that something done by creating a sound is not considered an act? V'atani Rav Ben Yecheskel, Tana Goyal Shalot Roy Shil Avikles Chuches, if a chicken stuck his head into a glass vessel, V'takaboy, and he makes a noise, V'shavroy, and he breaks it, the loch is, Mishalem Nezek Shalom. He has to pay Nezek Shalom. The Rishonim quote the Gemara of Sechta Baba Kama. The halacha is that the only time this would be the din is if there was food in the vessel. For then it's normal that the chicken or the animal should stick his head into the vessel. There's a machloikis, how much has to be paid. According to Sumchis, the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama Daf Yud Zayin says that Nezek Sholem has to be paid. The Rabbanan, however, hold that this is a case where Chatzi Nezek is paid. Vama Rav Yosef Amirav, Sos Shetzonaf, of a horse neighs, Chamor Shanor, a donkey brays, the Loch is Vishavar Koyam Techabayis, they break Kalim in the house, the Loch is Misham Chatzi Nezek. So we see that making noise, sound, is a way of considered Hezek. Amalei Shani Odom. We can't compare the situation of noise that affects vessels to noise that affects human beings. The kivin debar adam hu, since he's kivin debar dasu, a person is a person with intellect, iu mavis nafshe, it's he who created the situation. And I saw two pshatim in Rishonim, what's pshat iu de mavis nafshe. One pshat is that a sound, the reason it causes damage is because of the shock. A person is supposed to be able to control his emotions, that his emotions should not physically injure him. Another pshat is that the person should have been smart enough to do something to avoid the noise. An animal doesn't have that ability. A vessel doesn't have that ability. A person does. Titania, as the Bryson indeed teaches us, Hamavis is chaveroi, if somebody shocks somebody else, Potem adeni Adam, v'chai b'dini shemayim. Ketzet, talk about Oznoi. If somebody shouts into someone's ears for Kharshay and he causes the person to become deaf, Potter. He's Potter because it's not considered real Hezek. Only Achazoi, if the person grabbed another person for talk about Oznoi and he shouted into his ear for Kharshay makes him deaf, then and only then is he Chayif. Tanraban. He called Enoi if the owner hit the Evid's eye to Kasoi and made his vision weak. Al Shinoi, if he hit his tooth the Nadadoi and made it loose. Im Yachal Shtamish Ben Achshav, if the Evid still can have use of these, of that Shem V'ayin, Ein Evid Yotz Ben L'Cheres, he doesn't go out free. Vim Lav, Evid Yotz Ben L'Cheres, otherwise he goes out free. Tanya Idach, but we learned in another Braisa. If an Eved has very weak vision, the Simoi and the owner makes him entirely blind, or Shina Neduda, his tooth was loose, the Hipiloi, and he causes it to be knocked down entirely, Im Yachlish Damshman Kfar, if he was able to function with them previously, Eved Yotz Ben L'Cheres, Mimlav, Ein Eved Yotz Ben L'Cheres. Says the Gemara, Mitzricha, we needed to learn both of these halachas. The Ashmin Hach Kamaisa, if we only learned the first Braisa, Mishum the Kara Nahira Bari, at the beginning the Eved had good vision, the Hashd because of the act of the owner, Nahira Kachisha, he has poor vision. Aval Hacha, but in the second Braisa, the Mikara Nami Nahira Kachisha, he began with weak vision. Emeloi, under those circumstances the Eved doesn't go out, that's why we need the second Braisa. V'yashminin ha, if we only had the second Braisa, Mishum the Samuel Gamri, he entirely blinded him. Aval Hassam, but in the first Braisa, the Lois Samuel Gamri, he didn't entirely blind him. Emeloi, maybe the Eved should not be taken out free. Tzricha, we need both Braisas. Tan Rabban, says the Braisa, Hareshaya Rabbi Roife, if his owner was a doctor, Vamla Lichalas Enoi, and the Eved told him to medicate, to put on some medication in his eye for simoy, and as he's putting on that medication, he made the eved blind. He told him to scrape his teeth. In those days, the dentist would scrape the plaque off the teeth. And as he's giving him the treatment, he knocks out the tooth. Even though the owner's intentions were very honorable, still the eved could laugh at his owner. And got free. However, that the eved does not go out free, because the only time the eved goes out free is actually yiskaven l'shachasai, if the owner specifically intends to hurt him. Ask the Gemara Rabbanon, hi v'shichasai my avdaloi, what would Rabbanon use the word v'shichasai to teach us? Answers the Gemara, m'boi lei chretanya, he needs us to teach us what we learned in a braisa. Rabbi Lezer Omer, harei shahai shijadai l'mei shivchasai, if an owner was putting in his hand into the slave, a woman, a maid's womb to deliver the child, the sima uba shibimeo, and doing this procedure, he caused that the fetus should become blind, then the halacha, says the Gemara, is that potter, he's not held responsible. My tama, the makrov v'shichasa, achiskaven v'shichasa. So there's a machlokes of Rishonim why this case is different than the previous case. Rashi explains that in the previous case, the owner did not have any intention, the owner intended to work with the eye, even though he had good intentions. Here, in this case, he didn't have intention to work with the eye at all. And therefore, in this case, since he didn't have any intention to work with the eye, it's not considered v'shichasa. Taisus says there has to be two concepts. Number one, Taisus says he has to not intend to touch the eye. And furthermore, he has to have good intention. In this case, that was the situation. His intentions were good. And moreover, he wasn't intending to touch the eye. And that's why this case specifically will the eved go free. The Ravid takes a third approach. The Ravid's approach is that only when a fully developed eye was hurt is the halacha that he goes out. Here, since it was the eye of a fetus, so it's not considered a fully developed eye, and that's why he doesn't go out. But asks the Makna, we know that there's a machloikis throughout Shas of uba yerech imai or not. So ask the Sefer Makna, according to the opinion that uba yerech imai, so it's an extension of the uber, of the mother. So how could we discuss him separately from the mother? So he says that the entire discussion of Al Gemara is only when the uber would indeed be born, not prior to that. Vidach, Rav Shimon Malozer, who has a much broader application of the word v'shichasa, and his application is that any time where there were favorable intention, he doesn't go out. Why doesn't he interpret the pasuk like the Rabbanan? He says m'shichas v'shichasa nafka. If the only point of the pasuk was to teach us what the Rabbanan said, it should be enough that the Torah should have said v'shiches. What does the Torah say? Shichasa. Teach us both dinim. Vidach and Rav Shimon Lazar, the Rabbanan, Shichas Aloy Darsh. Amram Sheisus. Harei Shahais Enesimuya. If the Eved's eye was already blind, Vechetatan, he just removes a blind eye, Eved Yotman Lecheris, the Eved goes out free. Ask the Gemara, Mai Tama, Mechusa Evehu. Because he removed the organ. And removing the organ is considered doing damage. And says the Gemara, Vatana Tuna. We actually learned this concept in a braisa. The braisa, when it talks about kabanas and teaches us which animals can be offered as a carbon and which animal cannot be offered a carbon, it says tamus v'zachus behema. By animal there's a din. Sometimes you can only use a male animal, sometimes you can't. It depends what gender the animal is, and that the animal has to be whole. Vein tamus v'zachus v'oifus. But these dinim do not apply by birds. Yochel, So we were even thinking Yof Shagapa, if the bird's wing withered away, Nikta Ragla, its leg was severed, Nechta Eina, its eye was removed, it still could be qualified to be brought as a carbon. Tamloim Mina Oif, V'loi Kala Oif. The only time you could bring a carbon is that if the whole bird is there. But some bird, if it's missing an entire limb, even a bird cannot be brought. So we see that a limb missing has a special concept, that has a special concern in halacha. So here too, even though the eye wasn't an eye that could be used, if it's missing, it has a concept in halacha, and therefore cannot be, the eved would go out, even if a blind eye was removed. The Paiskim discuss, here our Bryce spoke about Yof Shagapa, if the wing was dried up, withered away, that's considered a mum, even by bird. What will be the halacha regarding if someone's hand, Rahman Utslan, is diseased? What is the din if somebody puts on a tefillin on such a hand? Is that hand considered a hand or not? So the Avnei Nezer says that the test, if it's still considered a hand or not, is if the hand, if somebody would put a needle into the hand, would blood come out? If blood would come out, then the hand is still considered a living hand. Otherwise, it's not. Rav Shlomo Kluger says that it depends. If there is an intention to amputate the hand, then the hand is not considered anymore a hand. Otherwise, it is still considered a hand. It's interesting to note that Rav Moshe speaks about it, in the Tshuva, speaks about a hand that's paralyzed, because Rachman Otzlan, let's say someone had a stroke, and he says that such a hand, tefillin certainly should be put on. In fact, he says that his father had suffered a stroke before he passed away, and he put on his left hand, and it was paralyzed, and he put on tefillin. Because Rav Moshe explains that a hand that's paralyzed because of a stroke, there's nothing wrong with the hand. There's a problem with the person's nervous system, and that that disease in the nervous system is causing the paralysis. But since the hand in its own is a good hand, the halacha is that if someone else puts on the tefillin, or the person could do it himself, the tefillin should be put on. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiba, Ashi, Amar Rav, Hoysaloi, Yiseiris V'chotcha, if they ever had an extra finger, and the owner cut it off, Eved Yotz Ben Lecheres. The Eved goes out free. Says Rav Huna, only Vush Nesperes Agar Yad. If it's a counter with the other fingers, it's in the same row with the other fingers, that's when it's noticeable now if it's removed, and it's considered that he caused damage. If it wasn't together with the other fingers, so it's not that noticeable, and therefore doesn't go out free. As we finish our shiur today, that we discussed the halachas of Shen V'ayin, there's a Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Brachos Daf Hei that discusses from where do we know that Yisurim have the ability to wipe away the virus of a person. The Gemara has a machlokes. One man Dama says, we learn from Shen V'ayin. Just like Shen V'ayin caused it ever to go free, Yisurim that affect the entire body cause a person to have kaparas avinus. Rabbi Reish Lakish learns it from melech, from salt. Nema bris b'melech, v'nema bris b'yisurim. Ma bris ha'oma b'melech. Just like salt, mamtekis is a basar, it preserves the meat. So too yisurim, which are called a bris, have the ability to forgive the averis. The Mefarshim explain, what is the practical difference between if we learn it from Shem V'ayin or we learn it from salt? That if we learn it from Shem V'ayin, it's only if the owner, as we just learned, is the one that caused the damage, and the Eved has to recognize that it was his owner that did it. Salt, as long as the meat is salted, it makes no difference who, what, when, the meat is preserved. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi, we can now understand Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, "V'gam ani shemati esnakas bnei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim mavidim oisai." Klal Yisrael thought that the Mitzrayim were the ones that were their owners, and the Mitzrayim were the ones that were causing them all of these problems. They weren't able to recognize that this was coming min Hashemayim. And if that's the case, they won't go out free. Because as we just said, Shem V'ayin only works if we recognize who's causing the Shem V'ayin. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'eskar es brisi. I remember the Bris Melech. By Bris Melech, as we just explained, it doesn't make a difference if you know or don't know who the owner is. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'tuvai HaGadol, in his wonderful ways, gave us this situation of the Eskos Brisi to learn from Bris Melech, and that's how we were able to be removed because of the Yisurim from Mitzrayim.